Welcome back to Tea Touch for You Online, Cellular Wisdom. This is our third hour for today. And Linda, what would you like to?
So in this third hour, what we're going to be focusing on are specific gifts that we get from self-help with Tea Touch and help for others and going into the details. So I would, first of all, like to share a experience that Marguerite is having in Europe with her mother with Alzheimer's. And I'm hoping that we can have some other stories like this and then go into the details of what she was using. Because Marguerite's mother, she started having signs of forgetfulness. It's been like from 2012 even. And it's been about a year since they actually had to put her in a place where she could get full-time care because they couldn't work and she could no longer go to a care center. So what Marguerite has been doing are basically the raccoon touches on her. And what has happened is that her mother is, after quite some time, able to walk again with a walker or with help, but she didn't want to get out of, she didn't want to move at all before. And she's also, it's just beautiful to see the pictures of her actually reaching out to kiss her husband, like reaching out, which if you know what that's like, I mean, this is how many years she's been diagnosed in 2016 with Alzheimer's, and to be able to have that connection in this way and to see her smile and respond to them in the videos that I was sent is just such an amazing, a really remarkable gift. And Sage said, can't be with us today because she's doing a special training in for death and dying support. And but she sent a beautiful story that some of you would have seen in the Facebook site, and that is, perhaps you remember her talking about a boy who was in, I think he was 12, I think he's around 12. He was in solitary, and wasn't relating to them at all. And he's been out now, and he's now teaching the heart hug to his colleagues. And one of the, I can't remember who it was, but one of the boys in the class had a broken finger and was really hurting and just had done Tea Touch on it and completely disappeared the pain. So these are, you know, feedback that we get that is, this is why we're doing this class, is to empower people, to empower us so that we can help ourselves, that we remember when we have a pain or when we're afraid, that we do the Tea Touch around the mouth, or when we have indigestion, or we're feeling out of sorts. You have the choice of the heart hug or ear Tea Touch, which can also save life, not just not only help us with migraines or headaches. It's just, I find that it really helps when we share these. So what I would really like, first of all, is to hear if any of you have any just small ways or big ways, either one, that you have found that you're using Tea Touch. Let's see what we can get from raised hand for this. Or questions, any questions that you have about any of the details of the work.
And for those of you who might not know, you can raise your hand by going to, is it the bottom of the...
So we have a lot of the videos are off. I would just really love to hear from some of you.
Okay.
Dawn, how are you doing?
I'm doing much better. I really wasn't using T-Touch before our classes here because I couldn't get my hand around to where I have very serious pain from the MS. And it's almost like at the top of your right cheek and lower back. And so what I've learned now from this class is that I put my hand almost like a fist. And then I use my thumb and my first finger, exactly. And I can reach very easily to where the pain is. Yes. And it really stops that pain. It's incredible.
Fantastic. And that's when you have that thumb against your the side of your finger. Can you see this?
Yes.
That's called the either the owl from the OWL, also, or the blowfish. And that's something that you can reach back quite easily and do. And then there's another, just a little tiny bit of adjustment of that. I can use my just this one part between the first and second joint, but I stabilize it with the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who in the horse world, Sally, I'm sure you'll remember this, that if we just push the thumb a little farther forward, we call that the rhino touch, because I can use my thumb buffered, but now I pull it back a little, and now that one section we call the camel. I don't know where we got that name, but it's really easy to use that. And I remember the first time I ever got it and named it was working on a back, lower back vertebrae from Teresa Cotterelli in our 3-year certification training in Germany. And I remember the moment of that because I could fit it in there easily. Now, when you reach back on yourself, you can't turn your hand like that, but you can have the same position and you can use reach. See the way that thumb comes up?
Mm-hmm.
Use that point of the thumb to gently work around. And it's a funny name. I was lying in bed thinking about this and doing it the other night and wondering what you all think. I'm calling it the ram because I'm thinking of ram's horns. And can you feel it? It's easy. You can be very, very precise and work around that. Just how is that for some of you?
I know for me that I was able to reach areas that I could not before. And it really brought incredible relief.
And isn't that wonderful that, and I still like, I want to know. And we probably have to do this with kinesiology, but like, why is it that we can reduce the pain? Now, what Dr. Janet Warhus says is that pain is caused by lack of oxygen. So with the Beamer, I know why it releases the pain, because it creates oxygen from the increased circulation. But how come we can do this with T-Touch? And it's just like, so often the thing that's important to have it work faster. Look at me leaning closer, Eleanor, to the screen.
I know. I did the same.
So I am way more effective than I was even before I started this class. Even though it was very effective, it's way more effective now because I'm really connecting to that divine spark, that consciousness, that genius that Joan King describes in every cell. And I talked about it for years. You know, we're working with cellular intelligence with all these different T-touches, but it wasn't the same to me as when I think, wait a minute, that light in the cells that Dr. Popp, Fritz Albert Popp, describes as communication between the cells, but the light represents the communication. So the clearer the light was, the clearer is the connection and communication between the cells. Mm-hmm. So what I imagine we're doing, wait a minute, we're talking to that brilliance, that universal divine consciousness in every cell. And that intention, I think the intention is clear. Jewel, I always think of you as intention. You know, we had so many discussions over the years of this, of our various classes. So,
well, I know that Monday I just had my annual assessment, yeah. And they do a special test on walking, and I can walk much faster and much more steady than I ever did before.
Oh, I mean, what an incredible gift is that?
That is. As a matter of fact, my neurologist didn't even mention using the disease-modifying drugs this time. I thought that was great. And he pushed out me going to see him again for a year instead of 6 months.
Wow. Oh, I mean, it just makes me cry with gratitude. You know,
it's all our work. It is definitely all our work, because I've been on prescription drugs, and they don't work like this.
Sorry. Mute myself.
Interesting. Well, also, one of the things I want to bring up is this. I was talking before the class, thinking about this. I have a friend who told me yesterday that 3 nights ago, she had the most terrifying episode, that she was what she called an Alice in Wonderland moment. It was where she was just completely in another reality and had no control, couldn't speak, could barely move. And she could move enough to pick up the phone and call her friend who is, it's not her regular doctor, she's her friend. And her friend recognized her number and said, if it's you, I forget, she said, do something, because she couldn't even speak. And it turned out that she had gone off a pill that was given to her 5 years ago by her doctor for restless legs. And she had decided to go off it. And she went off it. And then what her friend, the doctor, said is that when you go off that pill, if you look at what it says, you can die. In other words, there's no way to get off the pill. Now, I decided to share this with you all because she said, I can't believe just for restless legs, this is what they gave me. But the fact is, we have to take responsibility and read what the thing says. Now, it's possible that it was a new drug, and maybe it didn't even say at that point that you couldn't get off it. And we know that, you know, like, thank heaven I have the surgery on my arm. But in terms of knowing what's good for our bodies, we really have to look into this and know that we do have other ways of taking care of this important vessel for our souls. It's the only one we've got this time. And I just want to, isn't that a wonder, Donna, that from a gift from the animals, because that's what T-Touch is, I never would have had it if it wasn't for the animals, that you can help yourself in this way. And we just have to keep talking about it, because we forget. You forget to do a heart hug if you're feeling stressed, or work your, you know, just take your thumb and forefinger, take your lip, like the top of your lip between your thumb and forefinger, and just gently roll it around. And that you can, Eleanor had a wonderful example. Wasn't Eleanor with or who was telling me this? Was it you with overcoming nail biting? Who was that?
No.
Wasn't you? Who was
I chew my lips, but I don't nail bite.
No, somebody was telling me that they had advised one of their clients to do this, and that in a class, and what she found is that she stopped biting her nails. And then we were talking about this in terms of suppressing food, you know, like when you're emotionally drawn to food and you don't want to do it, but you can't stop yourself, you can work your lips this way. Now, we haven't talked about this at length, but the reason that this mouth tea touch works is, I mean, this is our primary necessity area for survival. Unless you're in hospital and have a tube in you, if you can't drink or eat, you'll die. So this tendency, this part is so emotionally connected, and that we've found over the years that, wow, any child can do this, and we can do it too. Just move this, the lips, and help us to overcome whatever it is that we're concerned about that's keeping us in the amygdala, keeping us from being able to think clearly.
So there's a question, Linda, about the hummingbird touch.
Yes. Okay, so should we just put that up so they can see just for the moment the touches? And because I want you to see what this looks like. We'll come back. That's the nine elements. And there is that. It's hiding. It's so beautiful. I love this color on this, because color activates the right brain. Anything to do with color, you know, art, music, movement, dance, activates that right brain. Feeling, creativity, intuition, compassion. Where are they? Okay, well, maybe it's not meant to be right now. It's hiding because you had it last night. Anyway, never mind, hummingbird. For our new person in the class, each part of the hand has been given an animal name. So when we talk about like the hummingbird, we know that we are talking about the curved little finger. And I don't know, can you, there, isn't this lovely? I love this. Mind map that Sandy has created. These are all the different tea touches, and I'm sure there's still something left off here, but with the lying leopard that I was showing for the lifting of the shoulder, you see that we have the leopard cub, the teenager, and the adult leopard. I'll come into this in a moment and go over on the other side, and it's the hummingbird. Now, the hummingbird is next to the banana slug. And don't worry, oh my God, how am I going to remember this? They all have a little story. So it kind of gives you a bit of a aha. Okay, let's see how I get up here so I can see what I'm doing. Okay. Maybe we can take that there. Come on. I'm trying to see my bigger picture. Sorry, y'all. Well, here. There. Okay.
Sandy, you're muted if you were trying to say something.
Okay. So the hummingbird is the curved side of the curved little finger. And I can't remember where I started using it, just gently somewhere, but it came off the banana slug. And the banana slug is this softened side of the hand. And it softens when you curve the little finger. And that's how the curved little finger, the hummingbird, is necessary in order to make that squishy part of the banana slug. Now, why did we come up with this? The wind just came up. If you have trouble using your fingers, because maybe your fingers are a little stiff, and that's how I got the banana slug, was somebody in a dog class who said, from so much use on the computer, her finger joints hurt her. So how is she going to do the clouded leopard, which is just, that is the about two-thirds of the first part of your fingers. That's clouded leopard. And I'll remind you, I got that working on a little clouded leopard in the Los Angeles Zoo many years ago. She had these kind of circular spots, and that's why, and she was so soft, and that's how I got that. Anyway, so I said to this woman, not a problem. You know what, if you can't use your fingers on the dog, what happens if you just roll the side of your hand with a slightly curved fingers? What happens if you do that? And she could do that. That was fine. So what I encourage you to do is that if you are reaching out to work on yourself anywhere and you can't reach it, like, see if there's some way you can just turn your hand to find a way to reach it. Or if you can't reach your back, so you can't get back there, or maybe you're lying down and you don't want to reach it, you can go into the front, the part, and go through the body. Just imagine sending that. I imagine it sending a message like cell to cell, lighting up the communication between the cells. And I see it. I just imagine I can see the spark to reach the back. And you can do it anywhere in yourself. You can touch any part of yourself and imagine that it's reaching you where you need it. Because it's all energy. So it's whatever we think, whatever we believe. Interesting. Okay. So that's how the little hummingbird came in. I can't remember where, maybe I was using it around a dog's muzzle. It's possible. Mm-hmm. But just play with it. It's a really minor one, but it's important to have the banana slug, the softness of the banana slug. No.
So Linda, somebody asked about when we're touching like this, are we moving lymph?
You mean, are we affecting lymph?
Okay.
So the thing is, that's a really important question, particularly mm-hmm. for me. Because of my injury, I had all this blood and bruising all the way down to my waist on my side. And my breast was like two sizes larger, the left one from the right, was so engorged with blood. And that was my interest. So I was on a cruise ship. I went and had what they call lymph massage. Completely different from what I've had in Germany, which are tiny, 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 repetitive off one spot, like acupressure, but many, 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 many circles in one spot. That's what they called it. What they called it in from, it came a very nice massage therapist from Romania. And she was doing a massage, an upward massage. And so for us, so you want that movement upward, right? So what I find is way more effective than either one of those is when I do, and this is what I started doing a lot with my whole arm and side, a circle and a quarter. And that's where I'm actually emphasizing that the roundness of my little finger here, because circle and a quarter, now it's the whole hand is there, but my emphasis was on the little finger. Circle and a quarter, and then a tiny, tiny slide. Now, here's where I got something new. Slide, and it's almost like a little skin roll. Can you see this? So that I'm activating this now, and it's the quarter up is taking that no matter which, where, however I'm working on my arm, it's always at that little quarter, last one. And so it's one circle, like 6 to 6 1/4 more. And you don't go over the skin, just for the, I forget who is new here. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you yet. But it's, I move the tissue 1 1/4 with the emphasis on my little finger, my little hummingbird, and a lift. And that, and then, oh, little slide, tiny, tiny little slide. And that's how I was affecting the lymph. Now, the interesting thing about lymph drainage in Germany, it's a really big thing. It's really easy to get there. And one of our therapists is a physical therapist, and she's gone through our 3-year training, and she is now open to practice only for T-Touch, because she said it is so much more effective than anything else that she does, and that's where she wants to put her emphasis. But so skin rolling is a big deal in Germany. There's a book, well, I should say, there's a book on it. And it's scary to look at, because the pictures in the book, the person is just blue. I mean, black and blue, just terrible bruises from this rolling the skin. And it's really painful. I had it done one time, and just to see what it's like, and I had to break it off. I couldn't take it. So, but what we do is a little version of that. So we do a 1 1/4, and look, can you see how my thumb is coming back? And I'm creating a little bit of a, just a little tiny ridge. So I 1 1/4, slide upward with my little finger, and the thumb comes toward it. Can you feel that? Creates a little ridge. And Martin, this is something, and Karen, that we want to teach in the, please remind me, in the advanced training in Austria, because it's really, it was incredibly helpful to me. I think the one thing to realize when T-Touch does not work, when you don't use it. It's, you know, I mean, that's number one. And number two is if we go too hard, or where it won't work. For instance, I'll tell you a really interesting case. A friend of mine who always wanted me to do T-Touch on her, and she could never feel anything. Actually, it was when I was, before T-Touch, I was doing the Feldenkrais work. And I thought I was doing this beautiful work on her, and she couldn't feel anything. Now, she drank at least 1 to 2 bottles of wine every night. Her personal life was pretty tragic, like her love life. She always had a lover, but always hidden. And so she couldn't feel. She was very left brain. She's now across the Rainbow Bridge. I'm so happy for her that she's free. But she was only left brain, and she couldn't feel. So when I started then doing T-Touch on her later, after I'd, you know, shifted from Feldenkrais to T-Touch, she couldn't feel it either, because I was going really lightly, because I thought she needed only light work. And I tell you, we have to meet someone where they are. So if you are working on someone, a friend, or even a client, for those of you who are therapists, I like to ask, you know, I use it like a, depending on your, on the person, start with a 3. And then I'll say, okay, do a few of those. And then say, now, would you like more pressure or less? And it's amazing how, I would say 75% of the time they'll say, like it is. And, but that other 25%, they may say more pressure, and others may say less. Now, if you're not giving them the pressure that they can feel and relate to, it won't work. So this is really important to realize that. That's why we have this. Could you just put this up a moment now, Sandy, the 9 elements? And I want to know, and this is true for yourself too, your body won't believe you if you work too hard. Like I have a tendency on my own ears. You won't believe this, but I tend to work too hard on my own ears when I'm demonstrating it. And I don't like it after a while because it's really hard for me to convince myself to work lightly on myself. So just think of me when you start to work. Do T-touch on yourself like you would do on a favorite person, or those of you who are animal people, on your favorite animal. What happened to her?
Well, you were still talking and doing T-touch, so I wanted people to be...
Oh, I was just waiting. Sorry. Sorry. Oops. I was waving. I mean, you know. Okay, now here are the nine elements. Don't you like Sandy's new type of mind map? That little curve back is not the usual part of a mind map, but... We just tried this because otherwise it would be too wide, and I love the look of it. So you've got, what I just mentioned is the ninth element going around, and that's the feedback, the empowerment scale. And we can do this either on a 1 to 10 basis when we're learning in a class. But if you've got a client, you don't need to explain the 1 to 10. So the idea is, if a person is in pain, or if a person has MS or cerebral palsy, even though they may ask for a deeper touch, man, I might do one on them, but this is an issue because I've worked on someone years ago who had, it was fibromyalgia. She had fibromyalgia and she wanted a deeper touch. And I gave her several deeper touches and I'm telling you, she was in pain. So our concept with the T-touch, the intention, the eighth intention, remember your perfection, that intention is to give the message to the person to, I have here, remember your perfection. If somebody's in a lot of pain, they won't believe you. So say someone's on 4th stage cancer or, you know, ALS, and you know that they're going to cross over. So remembering their perfection, if you explain what it is, they may get it. If they are not aware that they're, or not convinced that they're dying, which I've had numerous friends like that, I can say, remember your potential for ideal function at the cellular level. And they can grok that, they can grab onto that and feel that. And it gives them a place to connect to, because as soon as they connect into that ideal function at the cellular level, which now we name cellular wisdom, that gives them a whole different relationship with their body and to crossing over. So this feedback is really important. When you don't get it right, it may not work because the person won't like it or won't reject it or won't accept it or won't feel it. Yeah. So let's go on with Sally. You reminded me to remind of the orca breathing. Sandy. We just jumped away from our beautiful octopus. Looks like an octopus, doesn't it? Here. So the breathing, the breath, the orca breathing here, that's the third one from the end. So the seventh. And what I mean by that orca breathing is breathing in through the nose, and just try it. And when you breathe in through the nose, let's just sit there a moment. And I love the Feldenkrais concept of the breath, of really filling up the belly and filling up the back, like fill up your belly, totally opposite of what I was taught as a child in school and later as an adult to suck that belly in. Not good for us. And then let's breathe out through pursed lips, like in through the belly. And really, really slowly out through pursed lips. I'm sorry, I might have just confused you because I started to talk about the Feldenkrais breathing, which I love in the awareness or movement lesson where you go, you push the, like, you fill your belly up. I'm going to do this first a moment, and then I'm going to go to the orca breathing. Fill up your belly, put your hands on your belly and feel it. And like as you're filling like deep in through your nose, let your belly expand, let your ribs expand. That's what I do too. And I imagine like way in the back. And then bring it up to the top. Like then contract your abdominal muscles and push the breath up to the top of the chest. And then breathe into the top of the chest, feel your arms, your scapula, all of that. And then push it down and expand your belly again and go back and forth. Now, I haven't done this for a long time. It feels quite funny. And actually, you know, it takes quite a while to get there. So enough for the moment to say, I'm thinking of that football-like feeling I got from allowing my belly to let go thanks to the Feldenkrais work. And then we're going to shift over to our orca breathing. So you breathe in through your nose and feel your belly and your back and all of that. And then take it up and imagine you can feel your ribs and your chest as deep as you can, all the way up to the shoulders. And I like to take in sips, like when I breathe in as much as I can. Like I can't do this when I'm talking, like sip, sip. Feel it all. And then slowly out through pursed lips, slowly. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Feel everything just deflate. And when I push out as much as I can, and I imagine flattening those little lung balloons, those little alveoli, flatten them. And then I push out three more pushes out besides. And if you do this, you can be really feeling exhausted and just go and lie down and do this for like, you know, 4 minutes and be filled with energy just from that. So breathe in through your nose, filling all those parts of your body. Then take, when you think you're as full as you can get, I take like three more sips of air through my nose and then and smile. Now hold it a while. Add in the holding as long as you can and then fill up again. That's next level of the orca breathing. Orca breathing is into the nose, out through the pursed lips. This adds the extra sips as much as you can get in. And push out now as much as you can flatten. And I'm imagining, like if you Google alveoli, these little lung balloons, I imagine filling all the balloons and then flattening them. But I engage my abdominal muscles. I allow my back to fill up, my ribs like football shoulders with air all the way up to the top of the lungs. And then smile. And hold at the end of the in-breath, hold as long as you can. This is a yoga thing that I learned years later. And then after you push it all out, hold again and then suck in. I believe if somebody was, I haven't tried this for depression. We've had really some wonderful successes in weekend courses in Germany with people really letting go of their, be able to relieve their depression. but I think you could do that just from the breathing, because it's lack of oxygen too. The cells are shut down. They don't have enough oxygen and they can't get the waste out. So there you have it. I would really, we can put this down now a minute. Sandy, thank you. And I'd like to feel, we need some feedback. I don't want to just be talking. How does that feel? Anybody get any feeling or have any questions from it? Or, you know, it may be very different from the way you've been breathing, because there are many styles of breathing. This is just the one that I have practiced over many, many years to come to this point.
Well, Linda, I could do that again and again and again. And you were not just talking, you were guiding us through something that was muy delicioso. So thank you. And that is worthy. I would love to have that next time also. It's so important.
Yes, it is. It's a practice. I really recommend that you just do it. You know, before you wake up, body blessing and that practice, and take just a few minutes. And those of you who have beamers, do it on your beamer. Amazing, you know, what that will do. Do we have any stories? Because otherwise I'm going to share a body blessing.
Yes, Cindy wants to say something. Cindy, I unmuted you, I think.
Yeah, regarding the oxygen thing, I put something in the chat at our last break. I recently read something about how the oxygen comes into the biofields and revitalizes the energy, the vital energy. But to put it more simply, oxygen is a component of water. And what is your body made up of?
Water.
Water.
Oops, Linda, you're muted. There we go.
Nope. Yeah. Speak more, Cindy, about that. What that means to you, how you can engage with that.
Well, it's because when we're bringing in more water or more oxygen, then we're revitalizing our water in our body. I do have kind of a story that goes along with that. A long time ago, my sister was a very heavy smoker. And I just did some light raccoon touches on her back, and she started hyperventilating, because she was getting more oxygen than she was used to getting into her body. And the funny part about it was, like a week later, my team newsletter came in, and there was almost an identical story in there that validated my thinking on what was happening with that.
Fantastic. And so I would have a question. Did she say that's why she was hyperventilating?
No, she didn't know why. And she was a nurse, by the way, so, which is kind of interesting too. But she was hyperventilating so much that she felt lightheaded and had to sit down. Because I started out with her standing, and she's like, "Oh, I need to sit down here. I'm feeling lightheaded because I'm getting," but that was my theory, is that she was getting more oxygen, because when I've done this work too, I noticed they also, in that book that I was reading, it talks about balancing the energies as well. And I find that a lot of times when I do T-touch, I take a look at people's shoulders and see that they're uneven a lot of times. And when I'm done, they even out because the body knows it's perfection and is going into proper posture.
Well, and think about it, actually. One of the things I would question, do you happen to remember, like, what do you think you might have been using for pressure and tempo? I mean, you can't remember. What do you think?
Probably about a 2 or 3 pressure and maybe a second and a half tempo. And I was doing abalone and stuff too, not just raccoon touch. But
yeah, it'd be so.
It was pretty light, and it was pretty, not real fast, not kind of like in the middle, if I recall correctly. Because this was when I first started learning the touches and stuff. So this was like over 30, almost.
Yeah, I know. You can only imagine. I mean, we wouldn't know, but you'd imagine. So, and we didn't have pressure and tempo then. So you have to imagine what you might have been doing. The reason I ask you that is that and this is something you should all really be aware of. A person can become lightheaded from something that we do with T-Touch that we don't want them to be lightheaded. So who wants to pop in with that answer? Because it's something, that's another place we should all know about where T-Touch can create a problem. I was working on a group of vet students from Cornell at an expo a few years ago, and they really wanted to see the roundness and see the T-touches and the tempo and so forth. And somebody said, I'd like to see more, and I've been working for maybe 5 minutes on this one person. I'd like to see that 3-second circle game. It's like 3 seconds to move the tissue around the face of the clock. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you have time to stay on after, we can go over that really carefully. So I was really like taking 3 seconds to go around. And after maybe 4 or 5 of these T-touches, she crumpled to the floor, passed out. Because you can drop a person's blood pressure with those slow T-touches. Slow being, 3 seconds or slower. And so that's really helpful to know in the case of a person with high blood pressure. And we know it from our practitioners who are therapists working in hospitals, and they actually measure the blood pressure. But you don't want to do it if the person already has low blood pressure, right? So this is really, really helpful to know.
Linda?
Yeah.
We can also, why that would lower the blood pressure is by a certain way of touching somebody, we want to be aware that we don't trigger off the dorsal aspect of the vagus nerve system. That's the old ancient one that comes from the reptilian era. That's our very first one, not the newer social engaged one. So when we trigger off that old reptilian part of the vagus nerve system, that can cause the lightheaded, dizzy, and drop the blood pressure and collapse. So so that's where when you talk about pick up the speed, pick up the cadence, pick up the rhythm, change it, don't slow it down too much, because that's what can happen.
So Eleanor, what does that specifically mean?
Well, so what happens is you've got the vagus nerve system. You have the old ancient one that started in the reptilian era, and it travels at the speed of light, the information. And that is the part that goes to the gut, but it's related also to the shoulders and breath. And so if we go a little bit too slow for some people, not others, for some people, it can activate that. And that is involved in blood pressure. That's not the newer vagus nerve system that's involved in our eye contact, our sing-songy voice, our prosodic harmony together, and our social engagement. It's the old ancient one that keeps us alive and functioning, and it's part of blood pressure. But if we activate that and it becomes the primary source from a touch that's for that person too slow, that can overactivate it, lower the blood pressure because it's activating that dorsal branch, lower the blood pressure and the person feels lightheaded and can collapse. So that's when I've heard you, Linda, talk about the rhythm and the pace, you know, that really makes a difference for some people. And were they standing? Were they sitting? Were they lying down? Why do we not work on them so much lying down? Why do we have them more engaged? We don't want people to check out. We want to keep them engaged. Or do we want to just give them something, peace and quiet? But then that's in a different position with a different way of touching. So I just wanted to bring that lightheaded is because if we had oxygen being given to us in a mask, we wouldn't feel lightheaded. But if we actually had old heart, we could.
Eleanor, doesn't that take to the blood from like the central body out to the extremities so that that person or that animal can flee? Is that part of that too?
That's a great question. So the dropping of the blood pressure is part of slowing the heart rate down. But the thing is we never want to have our heart rate so slow as we don't ever want our heart rate to go so fast. We want our heart rate, I'm going to say something sounds funny, we want our heart rate to be a little bit irregular. That's what heart math talks about. So it heart rate variability has to do with changing.
We've got a real crackling going on. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Hold on. Cindy, let me just mute you for 1 second. See if that's okay, so we want the heart rate to be a little irregular in milliseconds. Each heart rate is a little different than the other. That's the part that keeps us alive. If we make it too much the same, that is not associated with wellness. So if we slow the heart rate too much, it just can lower the blood pressure. It's for some people. So that's why I love that Linda has so many paces, so many rhythms, so many levels of touch. They really serve a marvelous feedback purpose.
Right. Thank you. And it's interesting when I've only run into one person ever who loves the incredibly slow T-touches. I mean, that would drop anybody else. Interesting. So thank you. And thank you for that sharing, Cindy and Donna. Anybody else been using T-touch on themselves? Sally, I see you. Hi. We need to turn your sound on. Can you unmute yourself?
A thought just crossed my mind about too slow heart rate. My husband has a pacemaker because his heart was sometimes being too slow. So if you're using the T-touch on somebody with a pacemaker, and he has high blood pressure, well, it's not with medication, it's not horrible. And he was in the hospital last year because his heart rate would drop and the pacemaker would speed it up and then it would get fast and then it would slow down and the pacemaker would speed it up again. Any insights on this?
So, and you were doing T-touch on him?
No, I wasn't. Not in the hospital. We had people all around us and he was hooked up to this, that,
right.
And
right.
And yeah. You could see on the monitor how his heart rate was not regular. And the doctor wasn't terribly concerned because he said the pacemaker gets slow and the pacemaker kicks it up high.
Sally, I believe that with T-Touch, you could help that to regulate. And the reason I say that is that, Roland last year, suddenly, like he got up in the morning, he dressed, he was just getting ready to leave the bedroom, and then he stopped and stood really still. And I asked him, what's going on? And he said, I think I better lie down. So he lay down and he said his heart was not regular, and it was really missing beats. And so I just, you know, I did maybe 10 minutes of just 2 second T-touches with, and he likes a 2 pressure, and it completely got completely regular. You can just hear it. And it was fine. And I think it would be worth it for you to do that with him, because the fact that the pacemaker is bringing that in, I believe with T-touch, that even if you could do 10 minutes a day with the pressure that he likes, and you know, a 2 second tempo, that it would be not have that pacemaker have to just be the one that kicks that back up. Worth trying.
And were you doing this, were you using the touch on his ears or on his chest?
I'm trying to think. I would have started on the ears, but he was just lying on his back, and I believe I was just working around, you know, the chest areas, easy to reach. Didn't really matter. I would have done the ears first, just because that brings us, you know, tends to regulate the heart. But then I would have gone to his body. So try both and see. And do work on his ears, that find out what he likes. Because not everybody likes their ears detached. So, and let me know. I'd really like to know how that is. Experiment with it. It'll be so worthwhile. Every time I take the time to do T-touch on Roland, and I try to do it, I mean, I go through periods where I manage like every morning to do a few minutes, and it makes a huge difference for the day, and then I forget. So, you know, and if you're living alone, have an animal to do it on. Get a kitty. And if you, even if you can't have an animal, get a stuffed kitty like this guy. If I was living alone and I didn't have an animal, I know that it would make a difference to me if I would do T-touch on this little stuffed dog and just imagine a dog that I'm T-touching from a distance. Because you can T-touch from a distance too. You don't have to be there. We actually measured this in 2009. Measured me working on Sandy Rakowitz. We were both hooked up to the mind mirrors. And as I was doing, imagining T-touching on her, it had an immediate effect on her brainwaves. And when I'm sending T-touch to, you know, someone else or another animal, I like to work on myself. I can just do this imagining the T-touches, and I can move my fingers. That's even stronger. Or I can do it on my own body. And that yet seems to have a more immediate effect. Plus, I'm getting the benefit of it as I'm sending. Other thoughts, questions, experiences?
Somebody brought...
We just lost you, Eleanor.
There we go. Somebody brought up about using the inchworm. Pat Hennessy brought up, if you're still there, about using the inchworm on the shoulders to be excellent, you know, for release, she says.
Oh, incredible. And there on, but that's where, you know, you can do it on yourself also. You just can't do it across the back, but you can definitely do one side. And if you add to that inchworm on your shoulders, find a visualization that you like. Imagine it's not yourself you're working on. Just imagine that it's, you know, your favorite animal or a friend. Because when you do, it will put you in another place. I just did a big session with Elke Granson. She was here from Germany. I did it 3 days ago. And what I was doing was imagining, as I was working up this shoulder, really taking her as though this was in the mountaintop. And when you do that, when you take it away from your own body, although you're still working on your own body, we get away from the judgment on ourselves. We get away from the, you know, ticked offness that we get when something hurts or bothers us. We're very, you know, we're all human, and the tendency to judge is really great. So if we can change that picture and bring, imagine in this case, you could imagine that you're on the top of a mountain doing this, and think of the mountain as you're doing the circle and a quarter and a lift toward the neck. And you can do a beautiful inchworm on yourself. If you're working on someone else, what I recommend is ask them to give you feedback. Okay, tell me when to stop. In other words, if you're working on another person from behind, you'll have your hands on them. One hand stays still, the other hand circles and pushes together. I like to ask, how far do you want me to go? And then a pause, and then as I bring it back, some people really love it when you do a little stretch there. And so I asked her the entire time, and I cannot tell, because some people don't like any stretch. Some people like just a tiny bit, like my sister Robin, when I worked on her, man, you can barely touch her. And she broke her back years when she was 18. And I think, you know, she had a lot of work done on it. And I think that's still an effect of that. So asking for feedback, this is very different from, you know, every other type of therapy that you learn. You work really hard to be able to judge what that person needs. That's not what T-Touch is about. It's about giving them, empowering them to tell me what they would like. And that's really different. It's a different ball game, because, and that's what Eleanor mentioned, like, why do we often in a learning teaching situation, we work on a person standing? If I'm working on a person who just has physical issues, and I will have them sit in a comfortable way. If they are really exhausted or really need support, then I have them lie down. So your choice of how to T-touch a person or yourself, treat yourself like your favorite person or your favorite animal and see how different that is. That's an interesting practice. And I can see the wheels turning in a few people right now. How could you, Beth?
I have heart disease, and I'm wearing a monitor now. I'm having an irregular heartbeat and some other stuff. So I really appreciate this. But I wanted to share something that I've started doing in addition to heart hugs is I've been practicing loving my heart. Yeah. Because at the beginning, I felt betrayed by it. And I was hurt and I was angry. And I'm practicing loving my heart.
Yep.
And singing to my heart.
Yep.
And so, but I would be grateful for any suggestions for T-Touch that I can use before I have to go see electrophysiology people who do all kinds of stuff. And I, you know, as I was listening, is it Sally, talking about your husband with the pacemaker. Yeah, and I was seeing, and Eleanor had mentioned that some level of irregularity is healthy, and I thought, that makes sense. It does, and if I let them do all that stuff that they're going to want to do, and I will go listen, that doesn't mean I will say yes. But if they do all this stuff to make my heart do the way medical science thinks that it should, maybe that's not what my heart wants to do.
I think this is really
better than my heart was.
It's so such an important statement, and it's why in the forest I wanted us really to cherish this vessel, this what all is in that beautiful vessel, And singing to your heart is really important. And I have you hooked up with Heart Math Institute yet?
I haven't. I'm aware of it, and I've looked at some of the things they offer, and I thought, gee, I don't know this or this, and I didn't know where to begin.
Beth, that's what they have been doing all these years. And they do it, you know, it's a way of breathing. It's basically what we do, but they have this beautiful, they call it freeze framing. It's a type of breathing. And it just gives you support. They've been doing this with people instead of heart surgery for 22 years. And you can use the Inner Balance. It's an app that you put on the smartphone and you just start breathing with it. Take a weekend course with it and then listen to what your body, ask your body about it. Because I just watched another friend of mine have an irregular heart, just like Roland had, run to the doctor. He's got her on medication now that she can't get off of. The problem is, as Eleanor mentioned, is not looking at the systems of our body, just looking at a knee-jerk reaction to something. And that's where heart math is a really wonderful possibility for you.
Thank you.
And if feel free. I'm trying to think, where do you live?
I live in Southern Ohio.
It'd be interesting to see if I don't know how their classes are. Years ago when I started this, I could enroll in just a weekend class, but you can also get their book and just start reading it and do the exercise from it.
Okay.
And know that they're known worldwide for keeping people from heart medication and heart surgery.
You know what else she could do? She could go to the Heart Math Institute website and look at that little program, remember, that you can plug into, that you clip onto the ears, that reads on your phone, and you get the little software program on your phone, and it will actually show your heart rate variability. And then you do the T-touches on yourself and you take yourself through our breath work and go into that meditative place of going through the forest and guided meditation in this way and self-touch, and watch the creation of heart rate variability happen right there in front of you. You can set it in many different ways. You can set it to look like a graph. You could set it to look like colors. You can set it to look like something that moves. Whatever way works best for you, they've got many ways that you can set it. And it's fun. And it's not just introspective on yourself. You see the results too. So see what happens with that. It's not expensive.
No, it's an app. It's the Inner Balance that I talked about. And you just plug it into your phone. Yeah. And that's where I think it's helpful. You help with it. It's helpful to, you know, if you have difficulties, because you can set it like start off easy, and it may be totally clear for you, because it is totally clear if you follow the program. But if you need support, there may be somebody in your area who's trained to give you support, or you can get support by phone. I mean, if you can't find somebody else, we've got people now who are trained in it who could support you on the phone. But you can, they have all the directions right there. Just, you can go to I like to buy it directly from them. You can also get it from Amazon, but I'd rather support heartmathinstitute.com. That's where you buy it, the Inner Balance app.
I had seen the Inner Balance, and then there's another one that I think connects with the computer. And at one point, I think it was a year ago, I looked at it, but that was before I started really having problems. And yeah. I didn't know whether to do this one or this one. And then I got distracted and went elsewhere. So,
to the one that hooks into your smartphone, unless you want to sit in front of your computer. I mean, I lie in bed with it.
Okay. Perfect.
Because we practiced it. One of the Heart Math Institute people came and spent 4 days with Eleanor and Sandy and I. Because they were looking at the concept of bringing T-Touch into their trauma work, which would be a lot easier, because to have somebody have physically be able to touch themselves instead of just having it in their head is another level of, as we know, it's faster, right? So
wonderful. Thank you.
Beth, abs, thank you for reaching out with that. Do it, please.
I will.
They're amazing.
Sally?
Oh, before you call Sally, I have to go. I love you.
Oh my God, is that time already?
Well, it's 1:40.
It's past time, right?
Yes, and I have a class I'm teaching in a few minutes, so I have to go get ready.
Thank you, Elmer. It was a blessing. Thank you so much. It was really beautiful.
I love you. Thank you.
Till later. Great. So, Sally?
Well, this was a question about heart rate variability. I've had both AFib and PVCs, which were both successfully ablated. And I was a little alarmed about heart rate variability until Eleanor said, like in microseconds. And I did get off the antiarrhythmic medication after learning from Ron's Alzheimer's neurologist that that's not good for your brain. And I've been doing okay so far, but occasionally, I'm aware that my heart starts beating fast or irregularly. If I take a 2 or 3 deep breaths, that settles it down. And so far, I've been okay. It's been a couple years now since the PVC ablation. So this is not the kind of variability that you're looking for. That's a good thing, is it?
So Sally, what I would like to say is, please remember that we cannot give any medical advice. That's why I like to point you to like HeartMath, where that's what they do. And so we have to be really careful about telling you what you can do. So what I would like to do with that is address that from the point of view of looking at, guide you and work with you, because with HeartMath, you can read all about it. Let's look at that logically. But what I'd like to do now is, if you can stay on, I'd like to wrap this part up and then go to that. So if any of you have specific questions, like, you know, that you want answered, I'm willing to stay on after. So thank you. That's really valuable, because what you said, when you take a few deep breaths, right? Mm-hmm. Fear takes over and we stop breathing when anything happens. And that's why this having T-Touch and having another organization like HeartMath support how that works and how that affects us physiologically is really worthwhile to help get rid of our fears. So the more tools we have, the better. And so I'd just like to know if, is there, Sandy, if there's anyone who has something they'd like to put in this segment, we'll do it. Otherwise, I would like Sandy to read you that beautiful piece, read that piece from Pegasus, and just do a little bit of sharing, just very short, to wrap this piece and then stay on for those of you who wish to go into this more. Because I wanted this course, Eleanor and Sandy and I wanted this course to find ways of having you be able to find help for yourselves and to give help for yourselves. That's what this is really about in this wonderful world, and have this gift is incredible. Sandy.
So this piece is, there's a group of people that come out of Hungary that connect with the Akashic records about star nations. And one of those is called us. We all have different soul rays. Pegasus is one of those soul rays. So you can go on to stellarnations.com and see their information. And you can even get a what they call an Antares code. What do you call it, Linda? Like a reading.
Reading, right.
And this information about Pegasus, one of the people who does the readings in the United States, I think she's the only person, I asked her after talking with Linda, what is the meaning of Pegasus? What are some of the important qualities? And so what I have here is like a distillation, a synthesis of a lot of information from what she wrote to me. Pegasus are called to connect all the differing worlds that had once separated from oneness to express as individual spheres of light. They create connections by traveling to different worlds through special golden bridges and threads of light that are cosmic ethereal meridians. They bring the messages that wake the scattered parts of the universal one into an awareness of being part of one giant galactic light body. Pegasus souls take up their service for the sake of the creatures of the universe, in which they themselves are the connection. Their own being is the link, and without their presence and mediation, the divine plan could not manifest at any single point of the galaxy. I'm going to read that again because that's so huge. Their own being is the link, and without their presence and mediation, the divine plan could not manifest at any single point of the galaxy. They mean such a global cohesive force without which the connections and encounters would not happen at all. Pegasus souls complete their mission by bringing the keys and establishing the channels of the galactic and planetary communication network.
Thank you. And I wanted to bring this in, and that's why I brought the Pegasus with us this time, and why in the past, for years, since the 80s, we've been doing this, I've been leading this meditation with these wonderful flying horses that would come, and we would get on their back and ride them. And this time it was much more important that they walk beside us on the earth. And this connection of oneness is what I got, you know, in 1984 when that horse came to me with that connection of oneness. So the Pegasus, it's a very special. And it was interesting when I asked the director of the Center for Spirituality and Healing at the University of Minnesota if we should change our logo for the human work. She said no, she felt that this was really important. And I must ask her someday if she, I think it was just intuitive, this hand and horse. So thank you so much. And I would like to wrap this up. And Sandy, if you could share some of your wonders, we've been going a long time. If you could share it in the Facebook site page, it would be fantastic. Let's do a final heart hug before we close this, and then those of you who want to stay on will stay. And give thanks to all of the animals who came with us into the forest. Give thanks to all of the trees and all of the realms of nature who were with us there. And I give thanks to all of you and send this knowing of gratitude, our gift, that being in this human body with consciousness and learning to love and appreciate this vessel for our souls, this 100 trillion cells, the cellular wisdom. Send that gratitude into your body and feel your cells spin and light up and feel your immune system like get this really boost of energy from the light in the cells sparkling and connecting throughout every part of your body. So thank you, Sandy, and thank you, Eleanor, and thank each one of you for being here with us. Aloha, and I'll see you on the other side.